You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
And welcome to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Honey, I am your host, Celecia Thomas, and I am so excited because today we have on somebody. She is not on Broadway, but she's literally the reason why I decided to pursue, one of the main reasons why I decided to pursue Broadway. She is such a badass. She is a model, a blogger, a full-time influencer, which that's a new thing. She's modeled for companies such as Macy's, Walmart, Disney. The list literally goes on. She started her own modeling management company called McIntyre Model Management. She is plant-based. She's a fitness enthusiast. She's a mother of four gorgeous children and was Mrs. California, one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Shantaya McIntyre.
Hi, friend. It's so weird to hear you say all those things. How are you? I love you.
I love you. Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I'm good.
see now, okay. For those of you who are listening and y'all can't see this gorgeousness that's happening on the screen.
So funny.
Less than 10 minutes ago, yeah. Shantaya was in pajamas.
I look like a homewrecker.
Homemaker
is what I was trying to
say. Homemaker, not homewrecker. Oh my goodness, literally, truly, less than 10 minutes ago, your hair was in a bun, you had on a little do-rag, no makeup, yes. And this, now,
well,
you got...
Yes, for sure. That transformation just happened. But also lighting is key, right? I did have you in like a back corner when we were trying to figure out this technology setup.
But also not take all of the credit.
But also I did throw on a face really quickly. And we should have recorded that transformation because it was kind of fun.
I from wish we would have queen. Now. Ooh. Is that the name of your next memory? From buckwheat to beauty queen. I don't know if you've ever been buckwheat, though.
I was looking a little, as if you know me, I hope this isn't, like, I used to say, like, Kunta Kinte, like, Kizzy, you remember? His, like, daughter, like, do you remember that? Did you ever watch Roots?
Roots. I did. Yes. But I was like, I was little, but I know who you're talking
yes.
about, though.
So that's when I look extra rough, I call myself Kizzy. I felt like I was getting a little Kizzy vibes.
So here's the thing. So this is one of the reasons why, like, you know, I've always called you like my mentor, but we are friends, you know.
Yes, we are.
But the thing is, like, you are able to always give me advice, even though you aren't in my industry. You seem to somehow tell me what I need to know to go forward and slay and conquer and divide. And
I think
even
it helps
now,
though, that I'm not in your industry because I'm not like distracted by the name.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I can just give you good advice. And not be like, but it's Audra McDonald. Or what do you know
right?
what I mean?
Like,
that's the only
you're like, I know that name.
Yeah, I know that name.
Fresno. Okay. Also, y'all, this is, okay, so Shantaya is Fresno in the house.
Yes.
She, a couple of the reasons why you are such a badass is because I remember the day that you were like, you have like 200-300 followers on Instagram. And you were like, you know what? By the end of this year, I'd like to be an influencer. And a few months later, you had over 10,000 followers, truly, and a following. I'm like, you have all, and that's just one example of something that you have decided, and then you do it.
Yeah, but I think that's why we're friends, though, because you're the same way, Celecia. You're like, I think I want to perform on Disneyland. I think I want to be the highest paid Princess Tiana ever in the world's history of Princess Tiana. Like, you didn't actually articulate that, but you act like we're not in the same company for manifesting and actually doing stuff.
You know what? Thank you for saying that, but I can see it on you. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm the same way. Every time you call me, like, you were like, even this podcast, you were like, I think I'm gonna maybe... I think I just got picked up by a – I think I just booked all these big names. I mean, come on.
Like, I'm over here trying to keep up with you. And even now, even today, you're like,
how am I supposed to make my, y'all, she said, how am I supposed to make my hair look cute with these earphones? Because we just set up her microphone system for the first time today. I know you're going to have to get on Patreon so you can see this video if you're only listening. Shantia, where are your headphones?
So what I did was I pushed sort of like a crown bang here. And then my headphones are in the middle of my head. Because I knew that my hair pretty much absorbs just about anything that you would ever see. And so if I could just get it on my stop making that gesture.
You figured this out in 5 minutes. I've been recording for the last month with these stupid headphones on my
head. Girl, that's why it's a hair journey. This ain't my first rodeo with hair, that's for sure. And I don't know. I just knew, you know, there's like basic things you know about the earth. You know that if you drop a ball and a feather at the same time, they're going to land and hit the ground at the same time. I knew that if I pull...
Who knows that?
Science teacher. Sorry. But I also know that if I pull my bangs, you're not going to see nothing in the back anyway. You're not. You're just not going to see it. So that's what we did.
Okay. Another thing I'd like to point out. I'm sorry. I'm just so in awe of this moment. For you to go from your hair was in a bun.
Yes.
To... just effortless, gorgeous. What is that? You just shake and go. Like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
is that?
No, I told you that's what I do. I'll take off my headphones just for a second so you can see. But literally, my hair goes, I just sleep with it looking like crazy. Like, who's the man who done it? Kizzy, right? I told you, Kizzy is who I start with. And so even this looks better than how I slept, okay? And then what I do is I just start shaking vigorously. Shake, shake. And I last time we talked, you asked me if I go back and I make sure that the hair always is perfect every time. And the answer is no. You see, I don't. Like if I had a commercial or something really specific where every hair needed to be perfect, then I would. But on a day-to-day, this is literally my hair routine. That's why when I realized I forgot that we were doing this, because I did, I knew we were doing the tech. I forgot we were actually doing the recording. Oh, you can watch me actually put on my – so I'm going to find an ear and then pull everything forward and then find another ear. And then fluff my little, but yeah, what I was saying is
amazing. Amazing.
That I knew that my hair wouldn't take very long because it never takes very long. My hair is not my high maintenance part. That's why I work so hard to get my like brows done and all that. Because if I can make my face low maintenance, I can be out the door in 10 minutes and look like I'm somebody and not Kizzy.
Okay, so... I love that. I remember, and I forget that I've known you for like over, can you hear me?
Yes. I just had to fix my...
I forget that I have known you for like over a decade.
Isn't that crazy, Salisha?
Yeah. To me, it seems like yesterday. And so I've watched, you know, I study you. Like I watch you go through these phases and, you know, all the things. And it seems like it happened overnight and nothing happens overnight.
For sure.
But I remember when you used to straighten your hair a lot and it was gorgeous. And you'd go back and forth between your straight hair and your curly hair. And it would be gorgeous. I never noticed any heat damage. I don't even think I knew what that was back then anyway. Yeah. But what is that moment? Because there was a day when you were doing pageants. And I know you were more than just Mrs. California. You've been on a whole bunch of titles. But you used to always have your hair straight for pageants. And one of the things that you told me was like, yeah, hair straight. That's kind of just like... the yeah, way it goes. And then you ran for a pageant with your curly hair and you won.
Yes.
What was that switch? And also, when did you decide like, yeah, let me try this end of the coin for this arena?
So a couple things happened. Number one, when I competed for Mrs. California, for me, it was more an identity crisis. I literally was struggling with infertility. I was very depressed. I was seeing a psychologist once a week, twice a week sometimes. I could not stop crying because we were trying to have another baby and I felt like a failure. I felt like I couldn't do it. I just was really, really in a dark space. And at that point, my mom had come out of the closet and that was a surprise for me. And I really was just having this identity crisis. And so I entered Mrs. California trying to figure out who the heck I was. And it wasn't like, it sounds so stupid. Literally, that's how I said. I said, I'm going to run a marathon. No, I'm not. I hate to run. I'm going to run in pageant because that's what I like to do. And it's a reason for me to just be focused on myself and really, really evaluate who I am as a person and what is my cause, what am I passionate about. And I literally went with zero intention of winning. So it wasn't even a hard thing for me to just go as who I was because I didn't go there to win. Had I really wanted to win Mrs. California, I probably would have straightened my hair. But wow. that wasn't the journey for me. The journey was, I need to find who I am and I need some accountability to make this journey. And so I chose a beauty pageant. And in that journey, I found even more confidence to speak my truth about infertility, because to speak my truth about my mom coming out the closet and that being a big transition for me. It was a whole year of having to over and over and over again say out loud the things that I was struggling with most deeply. And so my hair was literally an afterthought. It was like not even a thing. I didn't even think about it until my girlfriends texted me. They're like, I can't believe you walked on that stage with big hair. And I'm like, right. I mean, yeah, I can't believe I walked on that stage with an $80 dress from eBay. That's what I can't believe. Like, oh my gosh. The fact that my hair was curly wasn't a big deal to me.
Shantaya, like just so many things. I think one of the many lessons out of what I just heard you say is that when you are most confident in yourself, when you're like, this is who I am, that is when you're the most winning. Does that translate?
That's life. Yeah, I think that's a hard space to find on a day-to-day basis, right? I think then I was such in a vulnerable space. That's all I could find. Like I was like just trying to pull myself up from my bootstraps. But on like a regular Tuesday, I don't really think about, ooh, I'm so fly. You know what I mean? Like I just started not really thinking about my hair. And then also the second thing, the reason why I decided to stick with my curly hair at Mrs. United States was because I do get way more compliments on my curly hair than I do on my straight hair. I did know it was a gamble because, you know, pageantry outside of Chesley, who really did some amazing things for us with curly hair. I mean, come on. And Miss Universe. I mean, right? I mean, like that was unbelievable. Tears, real tears went down my eyes when she won with her natural hair. Not win with her natural hair at her state pageant, P.S. Like that was transformational that she decided to take that risk on the biggest national stage for pageantry. Yeah, because I was randomly a fan of hers even before she was Miss North Carolina. So anyway, all that to say, I feel like you have to just, it's part of the journey. Part of your hair journey is finding your confidence in day to day. And I was getting more compliments on my curly hair than I was on my straight hair. And so I was like, what the heck? Let's just see what happens, sort of thing. And so, yeah.
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Amazing. All of that. I'm like, man, what is that switch for people? Because I remember back in the day, when we wore our hair like this, it was not like a compliment situation. And now I feel like things have changed. Is that internal or do you think that is an external thing with society?
I think, well, number one, it depends on the age range. I remember I used to teach biology and my students would say, Mrs. McIntyre, it looks like how my mom used to wear her hair in the 80s and 90s. And I would be like, boo, sit down. Like, and then sometimes I find that white people honestly compliment me as much as black people about my hair, which is a little surprising. I think it's more of a texture thing. Like they can't ever get their hair this big, you know? And then I think black girls, we just have like this camaraderie when it comes with hair. We're like, yes, queen, I see your crown. You know,
when I see you embracing your crown, it's like, yes, you go, girl. Yes. All right. And another one of the things that you said, Shantaya, is first of all, I did not know all of that was happening during that time when you were running.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was internal. Yeah. Sorry. Made you lose your train of thought.
No, I'm just thinking about, like, I just didn't know. Like, as your friend, I didn't know.
Yeah.
What I saw was somebody who was struggling with infertility, and then you got pregnant.
I did get pregnant, and that was wild, too. No.
You had – first of all, you had six-pack. You had more abs than I did on that stage, and you were three months pregnant?
I was 3 months pregnant. That was stressful. Training for a bikini pageant. And I didn't tell anyone because my platform still was infertility. And I was so afraid I was going to lose that baby. And I didn't want that to be part of my storyline. So I just kept it to myself and really just continued speaking from my truth of I can relate. If you can't have a baby, I know what it feels like. I know the pain, what that feels like. And that was not a lie because I knew that very freshly. And you know, I remember I hit 3 months exactly while I was at Mrs. United States. And I remember sitting there looking at my stomach, knowing that I had to get on a two-piece swimsuit very quickly, like literally the night after, thinking, oh my gosh, this thing is still in here. Like, this might actually stick around. And I remember also when an evening where I had practiced like holding in my ribs and contracting my belly so that I could look real slim on stage without killing my baby, of course, because that was not ever going to be the goal. But 30 seconds, we can contract an ab, right? And because that's how long you're on stage. But then I forgot to do that in my evening gown. And my makeup artist the next day said, you know, you looked a little pregnant on stage. And I said, that's because I am.
Wait. Your makeup artist said that? How dare her, first of all? Who says that to anybody?
Like, you looked a little poochy in your evening gown. And I was like,
You're like, well. You know what? Thank you because I.
Thank you. Yes. No. She was the first person I told. She's like, what? It was a really fun moment.
So a lot of people, the goal is to have, and maybe our generation is changing, but a lot of people, the goal is to have a job that you can count on to feel secure. Like, okay, I've got my family of six, my four children, me and my husband, and a job with all the figures that we feel confident and safe. And another thing that I love about you, Shantaya, is you had that. God blessed you with that. But your goal is something that, like, is not what society would say is like the thing, but it's what would make you happy, which is being a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
And that was your goal.
Yes.
And
I do. Oh, it's always been my goal. You know, the problem with, I think, not the problem. I think the interesting dichotomy, I can't say a big word and then not be able to say it. Like, that totally takes away the negative points. Anyway, the interesting twist of being a woman and an ambitious woman and then being a mother is that it's really hard for those things to lie together. And so the more I got and developed in my own career, the higher ranks I got and the further I became from my family. And so I really had to make a decision. And I don't think every woman has to make that decision. And I'm super proud of women who can balance it all. But for me, I couldn't do both. And so I decided that at the end of the day, it satisfied me much more to be involved with my children and know them deeply and be present when I was with them than to continue to climb the ranks of my career. So, but the problem was every time I would say that out loud, I would get another promotion and in essence, be further away from my family. And so finally, this last time when I was offered another promotion, I said, no. In fact, I'm quitting. And so, didn't happen quite, you know, that literally and that seamlessly, but literally, And so, I just couldn't do it anymore. I worked in education and I didn't know my kids' teachers' names. And I was a little tired of that. So, so God is good. You know, I feel like one thing that you and I both can relate to is that God really does listen to the whispers of your heart. And so if you say something and really put some energy behind that thing,
I love that.
God is faithful.
So we're probably going to have a commercial break here. I'm thinking.
Look at you, fancy.
Sorry, it's not as fluid as last time. That was perfectly said. So I'm just go right into a commercial. What else should I ask you?
Burp, commercial. Yes. Should we talk about hair journeys? maybe like a little more specifically, not so much pageantry, but just like how we landed here. I think last time we talked about how
another thing that I've watched you do, which is against the grain once again, is you've had the biggest freaking hair, like huge curls down your back, and while everyone is trying to grow their, well, most of my friends are trying to grow their hair out, you chopped yours off and it looks fantastic. Like, okay, for those who cannot see her, like, this is the short version of how her hair has been in the last few years, and it looks so great even with the microphone on, even with the earphones on. How did you
microphone's hating on me a little bit?
Where does that confidence come from to cut your hair and to just be able to rock it like you do?
Oh yeah, that's not confidence though. That is survival. That is because when people see how much hair I have, they charge me double, and I don't have money for double. So if they'll say, "Oh, you know, a trim," you know, back when I was getting my hair flat iron, it would be like a press and curl of 65. I'd walk out of there $130 later, and I'm like, "Dude, your sign-up sheet says 65. Why am I paying double?" Literally, that's the story of my life. And so I got tired of paying people double. So I learned very early how to color my own hair, cut my own hair, perm my own hair when I was doing perms, like the whole nine, because I just got tired of being taken advantage of. I felt like maybe I do have a lot, but I feel like it balances out. When the sister before me didn't have a lot of hair, I have a lot, like you did. I don't know. No
but
shame.
That, no, this is part of the conversation.
That was part of my journey,
especially
why I started doing
set.
It myself.
How was it being on set as a Black woman? Have you ever been left to do your own hair? Or do they always know what to do with your curls? Like what do they do?
Yeah. Oh, on set?
You don't want
on
them to
set,
touch it.
I don't want them to touch it. I don't want them to touch it. Mm-mm. Early in my modeling career, I was much more open to just letting them put whatever the heck they wanted to. I wouldn't even ask questions. You know, they'd put some sort of like balm on their hand and I would just let them go to town. I remember one time I wasn't having the best hair day and I put a wig on, a synthetic wig, and no one even noticed, P.S. But then the hairdresser tried to curl it with a curling iron. And it melted. And I'm like, girl, you didn't know this was a wig? Like, come on. And you didn't know it was a synthetic wig? Like, you couldn't look at it and touch it in any way. So, but for them now that I'm a little older,
right.
I literally like, what you got? What is there? Silicone? What product are you about to put on my hair?
I love that.
Before they
Especially
even
since
go,
you know what is up. Like, yeah, when we're younger, we don't always know until you like figure it out or learn. Would you feel more comfortable if it was a person of color? Or is it a person of color that you're like, no, don't touch my hair? Or is it white people? Like,
No, I can't say I've had people of color do my hair often enough to even say what I would normally do. But I do think I would advocate enough for my hair to say, what you got, what you putting on there? Because I don't want oil sheen on it. Just because I figured out a routine of what works for my hair. And so I think I would speak up.
We'll be right back right after the break.
You went down to LA and you got your hair done at, what is it? The Acapella Salon? Or is it the
Capella? I think it was.
The Acapella. Yeah. I'm such a singer. You went to the Acapella Salon? The Capella Salon. How was that experience? Was it life-changing? Was it so-so? How was it?
Yes. So the backstory of that was, Salisha got tired of me saying that I was getting my hair cut at Supercuts, which is real life what I was doing.
How did that even happen, by the way? But like, go on.
And so Salisha said, you have to get a diva cut. And I'm like, that says $300 on the paper. So if it says $300 on the paper, I know I'm walking out with $700. Like
the
price
with
tag
products,
freaked me out. Yes.
With tip.
Yes.
With extras.
Yes. And I did walk out of there $700 later. I think by the time I got product and tip and the whole thing, I was pretty doggone close to $700. But with that said, it was life changing. I think the texture that you see right now, this is all Capella Salon. I can't remember.
Janae.
Thank you. I was like, I can't remember her name. And she was like the best, sweetest soul. She really taught me a lot about how to take care of my hair. So it wasn't even just a haircut. It was more like, this is the things you need to do. Almost like what your mom should do for you. But, you know, our moms didn't have the same they weren't after the same look. And so she literally took me to hair school and she said, this is how you wash your hair. This is how you rake in product. This is how you should add water while you add conditioner. They're friends. You water, you condition, you water, you condition, and then you leave it.
Friends.
Yeah. And so I didn't realize the relationship that water needed to have with my hair until that salon. And now, I mean, literally, I remember we were talking different in a different conversation about how I literally, sorry, I just realized my battery's going to die.
Mine is too. That might be the end of our conversation.
I can grab it. But I saw the light dim. Sorry. But I noticed after that salon that my hair literally has a different texture. And I didn't know that it had the potential to even have this sort of ringlet situation. I didn't have this hair prior to that salon. So that was a
good investment.
And
it's so crazy because like prior to the salon, your hair was bomb. But it, literally, your hair looks fantastic. But when you left the salon, this new how your the life of your hair, yeah. it's next level, Shawn.
No, I appreciate that. And I do agree with you. I agree that it's next level. I didn't even know. I remember her saying when she was cutting my hair, she's like, you're at 1% of your potential. I'm like, 1%? Like, that's low-key mean? You know what I mean? But also I was like, all right, if you say so. And now I'm seeing the light that it is different. And I would say one thing that if you could take away from me that you really should stop using as part of my journey is silicones and sulfates really are the antithesis of really great hair. So if you could just start paying attention to your hair products and start using ones that don't have sulfates, silicones, or phosphates, if you're kind of get fancy, you'll see a real big transition for your hair.
Okay. I feel like our computers are both about to die and you're one of my best friends. So you're going to be back. So I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. I love you so much. Y'all, please go follow Shantaya McIntyre. Do her 30-day sex challenge on her blog. It's the bomb. She's the bomb. Listen to, you're the bomb. Listen to your podcast, her podcast. What is it called?
We are transitioning. It's about marriage. Love. School. That's what we're calling it. Like old school.
Ooh.
Love school.
Ooh, love yes. school.
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you for hanging out with me for a few minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, friend. I love you.
Love you too. Y'all, Shantae is one of my best friends, and yet still, I still get starstruck around her. I love her so much. Please follow her on Instagram at Shantaya McIntyre. She will fill your feed with joy and love and her huge, amazing family and their dog, Kobe. Give her some love. Just so much love for her. I love her. I just love her. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. The whole version is available on iTunes, sung by yours true. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode. Are you following us on Patreon? Are you? Are you a Patreon member? Go, run, donate to Black Hair and the Big League so that we can keep this thing going, baby. The link is in the description for this episode. You can donate as little as $5 a month. Y'all, rate this podcast, write a cute little review, tell a friend, share a friend, share Black stories. Let's do this thing. Black History Month is just around the corner and I'm so excited. Y'all, you know it's the shortest month of the whole friggin' year. It's fine. I'm so excited. So much love for you. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.